Okay, so we're going to get started this morning, and we're going to open in prayer and thanksgiving. God is doing a lot. I'm really excited about. But anyway,
we'll talk later.
Well, good morning, everyone. And once again, thank you for being on the call. Praise, glory, and honor to our Lord and Savior. We will start this, our time together in the Lord, and what a joy it is to be alive today, to come to him in spirit and truth, to lift up his name. And I know we all have things on our hearts, so if we don't, we will in a few moments or days that is heavy and burden us, but we can lay all of those burdens at our Lord and Savior's feet. And
yes,
he takes care of them for us. So as we come to prayer, put them down. Lay your burdens down. And let the Lord just minister to you, free you, lift your spirit up, and soar with the Lord, because he lifts us high, because he is all-mightiful, all-powerful. There's nothing greater than our Lord and Savior. And there's no one that loves us more than he does. He loves us more than we love ourselves. So let's go to the King of Kings together in spirit and in truth. And in prayer. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, here we are today to thank you. To thank you for another day of life. To thank you for a new beginning. To thank you, Father, that yesterday is gone and today is what we have, Father. And in you there's new mercies and new grace in each and every new day that you give us life. We thank you for the many blessings that you poured upon us. We thank you for those that we see in the unseen blessings, Lord. Because we know that you have us in your hands. And Father, we bless you and we praise you for who you are. You are Jehovah Jireh, our great provider. You Elohim Israel. You all of that and so much more. Lord, you are everything and in all things. What a wonderful God and mighty God you are. So Father, we praise you and we bless you for this opportunity that your children are coming together in spirit and truth, to praise you, to lift you up, and to hear your word, and to share your word with others. So, Father, right now, wash and cleanse all of us. Give us a heart that is pure. Create in us a new mind that stays focused on you. Lord, let there be no distractions. No one would come between us from what you're doing. You say nothing can separate us from the love of you, Father. So, Lord, let your love flow in us right now, Father. Let your mercy and grace just raise in us as we share with others. Bless this service, Father, today. Would you please, in the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit come in. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way today, Holy Spirit. Take over every aspect of what will be said, what will be read, and everything that will go on, Lord, that it would be for the glory of you. Lord, I pray today, we pray today that you would bless Jeanette. Lord, give her the wisdom, the knowledge, and everything that you want her to have as she brings forth your word. Fill her with your spirit even more today than ever before. That, Lord, she will be speaking, but it be your spirit speaking through her. Oh, Father, then I ask, Father, that you would also just bless Alexandra as she brings forth the word to be read, Lord, today, Lord. Give her fresh and anew eyes to see, mind to understand, and heart, Lord God, that would bring it in a way that you want her to read for to all of us. Then, Lord, as we, the hearers of your word, let us not just hear your word today, Father, but let us be a doer of what we hear. Lord, thank you, Father. We bless you and we praise you, and we lay all of our burdens at your feet. And we pray, Father, that as we go into this service, that, Lord, you would just give us what we need. We need you, Father, so let thy will be done, and let thy kingdom come right here in this service today, Father. Take over, Lord. We bless you and we praise you. And we thank you for those that will call in at a later time. The Lord, you bless them as well. Let the word penetrate their soul. Lord, because you said that your word is a lamp into our feet, and we know it is, and is a light into our path. So light us, Lord God. Let us walk in your way. Let your spirit have its way. We pray this all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 Today is a communion day. It's the first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to end a little early to do communion. So you might want to wander around, get your elements, or if you have it. We're going to be in Romans again. We're in the Romans, the seventh chapter. We're in Romans, the seventh chapter, and we'll be starting at the seventh verse. Last week we were talking about slaves to sin, and do we have a license to sin just because we're not under the law? And we, of course, answered that, of course not. That's not a license to sin. Let's sin more so that grace can be more noticeable. And of course not. So God has called us to a higher calling than that. And in just gratitude and understanding of what he's done and how he's paid it, it makes sense that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will go forward a different way. So we were talking a lot about sin exposing the law, and without morality, without the word of God, there is no morality, because then people do whatever they think is best.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go straight to verse 7. Alexandra?
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known
covetousness.
Yes, unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Amen.
Let's stop there. Yeah, excellent. So, what is he saying? He was saying how the law deceived him, or commandments deceived him, because once they had the law, they thought, oh, well, now we have a way to be righteous. But actually, it only exposed your inability to be righteous. So he says we were deceived. We thought the law would make us right. With put, when I say righteous, I put in right. On our own. But that's what the law exposed. Keep going.
Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Continue.
Let me stop there for a sec. So, again, he's saying, so it was the commandment, was the law, you know, death? It actually only brought, again, the visibility to sin. Without the law, there wasn't visibility. And it made sin appear even more sinful. Mm-hmm. Because prior to that, we were only going on our conscience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now that it's been put out there, you shall not covet, kill, mm-hmm. adultery, you name it. List is endless. Well, now that it's been put in written form, there's no way for you to your conscience. 14. Mm-hmm.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am
sold
doing,
under
I do
sin.
Not understand.
Alexandra, give me like a 2-second break between verses.
Sure.
When you're reading. Perfect. That'll sure. help me. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Somebody, we're going to make sure this is crystal clear. How are you sold under sin? How are you sold under sin? Say again.
Jesus sacrificed. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear?
Click. I thought you guys disappeared. Yes.
Okay, so how are we sold under sin? Why does he say we are sold under sin?
Because of the
because God. Well, it's down on the cross. It's under sin.
sold under sin. It's meaning that we were sold to sin, sold over to sin, mm-hmm. because of Adam's choice to sin. Mm-hmm. Then at that point we had no other choice but to be sinful. From that point on, we had no choice.
This is correct. Sold unto sin. Almost, I want you to look at it as a wager that was made in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
They're put on earth. The Father is saying, I'm trusting them to obey me and they'll follow me. And Satan says, but what if I could convince them to come my way? Then I own them.
Mm.
Mm. Almost like a wager, almost
right.
like a bet.
Right.
And so we end up bought mm-hmm. into sin from mm-hmm. our mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now you get kind of what that means?
Right.
Sold
yes.
into sin. He got all of them. Now he got to infect each one of us, every human born thereafter with mm. sin DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So he won the bet, it seemed, it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
God already knew that that bet was going to be won,
mm-hmm.
so he put mm-hmm. in place a plan so that we don't have to suffer the consequences of the lost wager.
Right.
Mm.
Praise God.
Okay, keep going.
Praise God. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate that I do.
Stop right there. Here we go. What does he say? For what I'm doing, I don't understand. Have you ever felt perplexed by your own
yes.
choices?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
You look and you yep. say, why would I do that? I know better.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even understand why you make the choice. I addressed that in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't even understand why you're making the choices that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
The very thing that you say and you know to do that would produce life and the right thing, you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very thing that you know is destructive behavior,
mm-hmm.
that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here, Paul, I love this scripture because it exposes that we really do struggle with anybody that's going to try and say
yes.
they don't, they're not being honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Get honest, be true and honest with yourself.
Yep.
Paul, the apostle, is telling you it's his struggle too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't understand. Well, why is that? Why do I turn around and do the very thing I know better than do? Okay, what does he say?
But I think, you know, it was so interesting. He answered it, this verses before. Because we were so under sin.
Yes.
And when you put it together like that, you can see why we make so many choices that we know we don't really want to, we shouldn't do, but we do it because we're so under sin.
Right.
And then it shows mm-hmm. how mindful God is. He already knew we would do this, and yet here we are. God is an ultimate plan
to fix this
to
problem.
Overshadow what Satan had already
right.
thought he had an end to.
Right.
What
fix this problem.
Because we keep doing it.
Yes.
It's not just like one. And we're not doing
it. No.
And it's not going to stop.
Right, exactly.
It's not going to stop. You're never going to be completely perfect here on earth. Yes, you will when you meet him face to face. That's when you will be changed.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, walk out your salvation,
mm-hmm.
which means every
yes,
single
hallelujah.
Day, in every single moment, you're making choices
yeah.
and keep mm-hmm. pushing yeah. against the propensity to make sinful choices and forge forward, because with each victory, it's another battle you're going to win.
Right. Right.
It strengthens you for the next battle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are certain things that they cannot bother me with
mm-hmm.
because I've already pushed way past that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, are you still bringing up cigarettes?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're still bringing that up?
Right. Right.
Okay, look, here's the history on cigarettes. I was in a very smoke-filled environment at a very, very young age and probably got nicotine addicted. Then when I was working early in the hair salon, this was back when the salon was filled with smoke. Right. I took over the salon. I canceled. I said no smoking in this salon from the time that I was able to take it over. And I started trembling. Hmm. I was craving cigarettes so badly, and I've never smoked. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I have dreams periodically about cigarettes. Hmm. The adversaries even come to my niece in a dream, my sister in a dream, and said, I have a strange dream that Aunt Jeanette smokes. So past that, because I forged past it. I never picked it up. I'm not going to pick it up. You're a liar. I don't have to do this, even if it's in my system. Well, that's how sin is. Right. It's in our system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're systematically drawn to the wrong thing.
Right. Mm.
But with the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. now you can begin to push, and push past it.
Right.
That's coming from the power of his Spirit now over sin. Right. Keep going.
Verse 16. If then I do what I will not do to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Continue.
What is he saying there? He's saying I'm acknowledging that I really don't want to do this because I'm acknowledging it's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
So I am acknowledging that the law is a good thing, right?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So don't get it twisted. I'm not saying the law is a bad thing, because Paul has said so much about the law. Don't think I'm saying the law is bad. I'm acknowledging the law is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
because it's, you know, and the mere fact that I don't want to break it
mm-hmm.
is a reflection that it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me.
Mm. So what do we have here? Now we're talking about the struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The struggle. And this is Paul the apostle. This is the same apostle who's going to tell you live a holy life.
Mm-hmm.
Walk right. Blah, blah, blah. But he's acknowledging right here that I acknowledge that what I do is not always exactly right. But it's not me doing it, because I agree with the law.
Mm.
I agree with God's word. I agree that this is not good for me. I agree that this is destructive behavior. I agree that this is selfish. I agree that this hurts people. I agree this is unkind.
Mm.
Mm. And yet, I did it again.
mm-hmm.
And yet, I was unkind yet again.
Mm.
Keep going. But it wasn't me.
18.
Wasn't me.
Nope. It's
wasn't
the sin that dwells in me.
It's the sin that dwells in me. Most of you
yes.
are probably not as old as some of us. And we remember Flip Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Definitely
do
it.
Keep going.
Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For mm-hmm. to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find.
Are we hearing quite the struggle there?
Mm-hmm.
Quite the struggle there. Here he says mm-hmm. again in a different way. But first of all, he acknowledges there's nothing good that dwells within him in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, at the beginning of the study, five, six years ago, what did we talk about? We're a three-part
mm-hmm.
being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're a three-part being.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh is one of the three parts. So what do we have here? The flesh is continuously warring against you because nothing good dwells in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
mm-hmm.
good. And it's one-third of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are we looking for? We're looking for, and this is a little bit on the sidebar, but it's a reminder. What are we looking for? We got one-third of us that's for sure pulling against the ways of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the mind. And then we have the heart.
Yeah.
The mind, and then we have the heart. So we've got to line this up. In order to have victory, we have to line it up. And even the propensity of the flesh is so great, it overtakes the mind and the heart, hence the need for the Spirit. The Spirit will begin to allow you to push past this flesh. Keep going.
Yes. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice.
Anybody that finds themselves in there, now I feel like we just popped back to last week when we talked about strongholds. He used the word that I practice. Practice.
Right.
That means it's a repetitive sin. Repetitive. You keep doing the same thing over and over. Not good. And he called it what it is, but the evil. Evil that I would never agree to do. That's the very thing I do. I keep practicing evil. Keep going.
Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me.
Doesn't it sound like he just said exactly what he said a couple of verses earlier? Why is
he
but
he had to say it one more time. It's really not me. It's the sin in me.
Now we all have this blanket where we're feeling like, oh, well, great. Yeah, even Paul suffered with the same thing. I mean, all of us, you, me, we're all sinners, saved by grace. So that's kind of comfortable. It's not me. It's the sin nature that I struggle with, obviously, but I keep practicing. So I feel, I'm going to say this, I feel a sense of grace now that I feel everybody under the sound of my voice is granting themselves. They're suddenly recognizing, wow, good thing for grace, because even Paul had these kind of struggles. Well, I'm going to challenge you, that same grace that you're now giving yourself, that you know comes from God, you need to extend it to everybody else.
Amen.
All of a sudden we can understand, well, it's not me. It's the sin that's dwelling in me. It's the things that I wouldn't do, I do, and the things that I would do, that's the very thing I'm not doing. And, wow, Paul, you and me were so much the same. But yet we will see somebody else in a struggle and have them going straight to hell.
Amen. That's true.
We'll say, what kind of Christian is that? Right. And they call themselves a Christian.
Right.
What kind of Christian? I know for a fact they smoke marijuana. I know for a fact. I've heard about it and I've seen it. That's not a Christian. Right. How can a Christian call themselves a Christian and have something like that, something that influences their mind? When the Bible tells you to guard your mind, they're not guarding their mind.
You're not guarding your mouth.
What? They drink? I heard that they've had a little bit too much to drink more than once. Wherever you are in your fight and your struggle and your pushing against the sinful nature of your own. Remember, everybody has it. And you're not in the position to know where what. Someone could say, well, Jeanette, you know, you bring up cigarettes. I can't even believe I'm hearing this from you. You don't know where nicotine got in my system.
Right.
And if I had fallen in that area and became a chain smoker, you don't know how that happened. So we are not in a position, I say this often, we're not in a position to be eyeballing somebody else about what they're doing, what they're not doing, and how successful they are in their struggles when you haven't overcome sin yourself.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, am I saying that we don't hold each other accountable? Please do.
Amen.
Because that's what's going to gird us up. Hey, man, you might want to work on that, or, you know, I'm praying for you that God help you push past this. I see it's a struggle for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Take the positive power of that spirit within you and use it to lift people up, gird them up, push them past something that's a struggle for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But don't use this as an excuse to sin, and don't use it as you condemn everybody else. Remember, the mercy you just granted yourself under the words of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul acknowledges that it's a struggle. Well, that explains it. That's why I'm such a jerk.
I think what we do, too, is we put different values on, like, sin. You know, like this sin that I commit, talking about someone is not as bad as doing drugs, you know. And I remember having this thought, or you see people on the street and you think, oh, wow, you know, that's a family and, oh, they're homeless. Oh, but look at that guy over there, you know. You don't know how he got there. Oh, yeah, well, he was an addict. He's an addict, you know. And you don't know how they became addicts. You don't know. So you can't judge. Sin is sin is sin.
Is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be willing.
What about them? When you say, okay, I'm doing something, but what about you? What about this person?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, when people do that, usually it's just because they want to bring you to where they are, and they want to change the focus off of themselves and onto you so you can stop looking at them. That's usually why people do the, hey, what about you? Well, so what if I'm doing this? What about you? But, you know, people that are in that mindset, friend, just continue to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to pray for them. They're not willing to face what they're doing because they feel powerless against it. Mm-hmm. And some of them want to keep doing what they haven't even come to the realization that, you know, it's destroyed most of your life, and how much do you think is left?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't come to that yet, or they're not willing, but God is able, and he works from the inside out.
Right. Or they think they can do it, which they can't. But then they just give up. They don't turn to God.
And it makes me feel a lot better when I'm around somebody perfect if I can find something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't think they're all that, because I'm certainly not, and I don't like myself for the things that I'm doing. So I'm going to find a way to pin something on them that'll make me feel a little bit better about my shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The mindset of, you know, often unbelievers, but I see it in the church just the same.
Mm-hmm.
Church people are only sinners saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still struggling with a whole bunch of the same stuff the world is. And so when people say, well, I came to a church and I didn't see anything different than what I saw in the world, surprise!
Yeah, right.
Sure, we're supposed to be doing better, and some of us are. But everybody's someplace different in their walk. And the church, what did Jesus say? I came for the sick, not the well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the church, when you go into a church, remember this all the days of your life. It's a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's a hospital. It's a place where the sick come to get well.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect to see, you know, Mother Teresa, Paul, Peter, and John, you know. And if you did, you'd run into this Paul. Who's telling you? I'm still practicing evil. That's the problem.
I'm sure that struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, keep going.
Sure, verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Keep going. Mm-hmm.
22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Awesome. 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Remember when we talked about members? I remember I asked this question maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I said, so what members are we talking about? And the answer was members of the church? No. What members are we talking about?
Our body.
Members of our body.
Our mouth. Or
our tongue.
Mm-hmm. Eyes.
I don't want to eat that, but my mouth keeps chewing it.
And my eyes
and your hand grabs it, and your body goes to the cupboard.
Yeah. Even the refrigerator tries to resist the pull. No match.
Mm-hmm.
So the members of your flesh, your body, are constantly pulling in the wrong direction. Okay, 24. This is the one hurts. Go ahead.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Yes. Wow, that's right.
Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Again, those of you under the sound of this, as you're extending the understanding of how deep God's grace is constantly flowing over your life.
Yes.
Extend that grace to other people.
Yes.
Because here, we cannot miss. If this is you, and it is, then grace is constantly abounding in your life. That is how you get through each day. That is why we are not condemned every day when we wake up, and certainly by the time we go to bed. Oh, we thank God for Jesus Christ our Lord. And what are we thanking? What's Paul thanking him for? Taking that penalty. Taking your penalty onto his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Because our struggle with sin is continuous.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus overcame it by paying the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we should no longer continuously struggle with sin? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. You struggle with it every single day, and you need to start winning.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have something now that works within you that has already overcome. It's the spirit of the one who already overcame sin. It's the spirit of the one who overcame sin is now living in you.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Chapter 8?
Yes.
Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Oh, hold on right there.
Okay.
Everybody knows this verse. There is no condemnation.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that part.
Yeah.
Oh, there is no condemnation
right.
to those who are in Christ. That would be me.
Mm-hmm.
But we never, ever finish the verse when we're quoting it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, now, please, with all that has been said for the last 3 weeks, What does that mean, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit? Before you answer, take in mind, didn't Paul just say that we just keep sinning, and that which you would not do, that you do, that which you wouldn't do? Did he not just say all that? So
yeah.
What do you mean there's no condemnation in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit? Somebody explain that. So what are you saying? There's no condemnation, but if I'm not walking in the Spirit, then there is condemnation. Yay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does walking in the Spirit mean?
I would say have the desire to walk in following our spirit nature. I mean, the Holy Spirit, not our flesh. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but our emphasis, our focus, the desire of our heart is to be as close to that as we can, but we're still going to fall. But if you walk and feel like, oh, well, I'm going to do this because I know given to flesh, I'm going to, and I struggle with food, but, we think, okay, well, I'm going to go out and sleep, or I'm going to live with a guy, because I'm under grace, or, whatever. That's not the same thing. You have to have that desire. You have to have, and I think the more that the Holy Spirit grows in you, when you're walking, when you're focusing on God, when you're committing your day to Him, when you're spending time in the Word, when you're growing as a Christian, when the Holy Spirit is growing in you, that is the desires. Yeah, you're going to fall.
Okay, so Tammy, is anybody else on that?
Yeah.
What does he mean when he says there's no condemnation to those in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit? Tammy gave an excellent answer. What's another answer?
Well, for me, it's I go back to verse 24 and 7. Oh, wretched man. What a miserable man that you are. The distress of, oh, God, I just keep doing this over and over and over. Oh, Lord Jesus, please. That's the condemnation when you feel the guilt of the sin that you're dealing with, and you have no desire to walk that way anymore according to the flesh. But now, according to the Spirit, if you're walking as Tammy has said, now you shouldn't carry that condemnation, because you no longer just submit yourself and surrender yourself to doing that over and over. But you are truly this miserable about the state that you have committed before. I'm no longer filled with the pleasures of it. It's just painful. And, oh, Lord, please. That's what I think it is.
Great answer. Anybody else? Okay. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Start first with the knowledge of that you're not condemned.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're trying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I fail, but I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condemned because it's by His Spirit I understand the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's by His Spirit I know this has been paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It's by His Spirit, which lives within me. So I'm going to walk in the knowledge of what has been done on Calvary on my behalf. And God knows the struggle. So I'm not going to keep beating myself up about it. I'm going to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not even tomorrow I'll do better. Maybe even a week from now, not so much better. But I'm going to continue to push forward until God helps me completely in this area and I overcome. So it's the heart, it's the mindset, starting with the understanding that it's by His Spirit, His Spirit, according to His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what my walk is appearing to be today, I am walking in the Spirit because I'm forging forward with the things of the Spirit in front of me. Mm-hmm. Whether I reach it today, whether I look so good, maybe not. But I know I'm doing my best, and I'm not beating myself up every single time that I fail and I fall. I fall, but this is what the Spirit looks like. You get up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it looks like when you're walking in the Spirit. You stumble. You get up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sit there and, oh, I'll never be better. I can't do this. Blah, 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 blah. No. When you're walking in the Spirit, you know this sin has been overcome. I just got to keep pushing. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do better. No matter if I fall 70 times.
Mm-hmm.
God is still greater than this.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
The law of sin and death is what? The law of sin and death? If you sin, you're never going to be in the presence of God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I'm free from that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tie me up with that ever again, no matter how much I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
How bad this looks.
Mm-hmm.
How many times I fail.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put that noose around my neck of sin and death, because sin has been paid for and death has been overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to our Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Keep going.
Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Continue.
Yep.
Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
For there we go.
Eternally minded.
Right there. That's it. We're asking, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit if we just acknowledged we constantly fail at being sinless?
Mm-hmm.
So, walking in the Spirit doesn't mean sinless.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to get deep in your, woven into forever your soul. Walking in the Spirit is a heart set. It has to do with your mind. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. That's walking carnally. That's walking in the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, that is what has become important. That's what you're pushing forward for.
Mm-hmm.
You're pushing to live without sin being the dominating force in your life. That's what you're pushing towards. That's what spiritually minded is.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, of who else but walked in the Spirit but Paul?
Mm-hmm.
But what was Paul saying? You know, it perplexes me that I'm not doing what I would like to do and I keep failing in the same areas. And yet Paul was walking in the Spirit. He was speaking in the Spirit when he was saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So then what is this? If Paul says I fail and yet he says, walk in the Spirit. And those that walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is a state that you've been put in when you were saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state. And as the Spirit begins to grow in you, then your mind is more on pleasing God even when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind would rather that you weren't doing what you're doing.
Amen.
Your heart is condemned, and that's why he's saying, remember, there's no condemnation here because this has been covered. We covered this. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful acknowledgement, because without understanding, a lot of the times people fall away because they say, I'm still doing the same dang thing.
Right.
I haven't overcome in this area at all, and I haven't gotten it right yet. And what's the point?
Right.
But now we're understanding that walking in the Spirit does not always mean sin-free.
Amen.
Okay.
Keep walking.
Keep walking.
Keep walking.
Get up. Keep your mind stayed on what is right, even when you have failed at doing what is right. Keep your mind stayed on what is right. Keep the desire in your heart to do what is right, even if you are failing to pull it off. You haven't pulled it off, but you're not okay with that. What a blessing. What a blessing. Keep going.
We should go back one and explain this. Verse 3, the second part of it, which is God did by sending his own son. What is that? What do you mean? Can you read that and tell me, explain that over again?
We're going to go back to Romans 8:3.
Yeah.
For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Because I don't like breaking up a verse completely. Receiving the law didn't give the flesh the power over it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what he's saying there. Mm-hmm. God did this by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh.
What does that mean? Sinful flesh.
He was born with the same sin DNA we were.
Like us.
Right.
That's what I mean here.
Mm-hmm. He was born, Jesus, the Son of God, had to deal with the same sin DNA we did, but because he overcame and was sinless, the price was paid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The price was paid for all of us. Mm-hmm. It just covered all of us. This is amazing. You got to understand it. You got to understand it, because once you understand that, you understand, well, what is this Jesus thing? Why is that so important? Yeah. Because he paid it all for him, he paid it all, but you got to understand what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
It was paid once and for all for you.
Simple.
Now, the fact that you're still struggling in sin is to be expected. It's to be expected.
Right.
But walk in the Spirit. Keep the things of the Spirit on your mind and in your heart, and keep forging to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have eventual victory. Some of us will have victory in certain areas. All of us will in certain areas here on earth. And some of us, the major victory won't come till we meet him face to face and are changed permanently.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you're supposed to. What are you called to do? Keep forging forward with your mind stayed on the things that please God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hmm. Okay. I think we gotta go. All right. We have to go right into communion. What a perfect. Okay. So those of you, we're going to take communion today. And communion is something that we do. We do it about once a month. I do it sometimes several times a month, depending on what's going on in my life, and I might feel like I need it. Communion is not something that you have to wait for the first Sunday of the month to take. If you're in a situation or something's going on and you feel like you need to sometimes repent, sometimes you need strength, sometimes you need to be reminded and your spirit strengthened by the blood of the Lamb. Take communion. Take communion. It's something that Jesus ordered us to do often. The church interpreted often, most churches have interpreted often as once a month. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I take it often more than once a month. But we do it as a practice together once a month. Jesus called us to take communion, and communion is more of a practice ceremony that took place the night that Jesus was betrayed. And most of us know the story that here he is in the upper room. He already knows his time is coming. His time is coming to do what? To fulfill the purpose for which he came. Jesus knew when he was born, and when he's old enough to even understand, he was born to die. He knew he was the Messiah. It was revealed to him. I know this because he said it in the temple when he was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. He acknowledged that he was the Messiah in the temple, that he was the one that the prophets had spoken about. He knew this. Why? Because God, his Father, was indwelling in him. Mm-hmm. So he knows his time is up. He knows he's not going to be making it to the next morning alive. And it was during the time of the Passover, and they're up in an upper room. An upper room for them was just like the second story, kind of more or better put as an attic. The way the houses were built, you can go up the stairs, and then there's a, what we would call an attic in our, according to our houses. And they're having their feast there and a meal there. And as the disciples are yapping about who's greatest and all kinds of things that were on their mind, Jesus' mind is on, I'm not making it through this night. And these guys aren't listening. They're not listening. This is when the communion, as we call it, was formed. Jesus then began to talk about what was going to happen. He knew why he came. He knew what was going to happen. He knew how agonizing this was going to be, and he knew he was going to be raised from the dead. He also knew, and he told them, this is the last time that I'm going to break bread with you. Are you listening? It's the last time I'm going to break bread with you on this side until I am raised, because once he was raised from the dead, oh, he had communion with his disciples yet again, a couple of times. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thing. And us to do this often. So I'm waiting for our elements, and then we're going to go forward. I want you to concentrate right now on what you're struggling with. And I'm going to say this because a lot of times we immediately focus on something we want God to do for us. Focus on something you're struggling with that displeases God. Something that you're struggling with that displeases God. Ask him to help you in the area that there may be a stronghold. Ask him to help you in the areas that you keep finding yourselves falling. We acknowledge, Lord, that there is no condemnation in Christ. And first of all, we thank you with all of our hearts, our minds, our soul, in bringing this sinful flesh into subjection, Lord. We thank you. We make our mouths praise your name. And thank you for what you did on Calvary on our behalf. We acknowledge that it does not come easy. that the sins of the world were laid on you. My sin was laid on you, Lord. Our sins were laid on you. You were bruised, your body torn apart, your blood being shed, and you're innocent. And you did it willingly so that sin here could be overcome once and for all. We thank you. We accept the work that you did on our behalf. And Lord, as bad as our walks look sometimes, we do not take it for granted. Forgive us for any time that we've been flippant about our own sin that you've paid for with such a great price. I ask you, Lord, as we take the bread that you call in your body, it represents your body which was broken on our behalf. Please take your bread. You broke the bread and you said, this is the bread which is our body, which will be broken for you. People didn't understand what you were talking about. And some of us today that have participated in the communion a million times don't understand it still. But your body was broken that we might have life, that we would not be broken. And you said, take it and eat it. And when we take it and we eat it, not what he did for you, but also remember what he went through for you. And not just remember what he went through for you, but remember that you are agreeing to partner with him in the work here on earth.
Yeah.
We're agreeing to be part of the solution, to partner with him in work that he did. Lord, bless, cleanse us. Take me. After he took the bread and he shared it with his disciples, took the cup. This is the cup. And it represented the blood that was going to be shared and the covenant that it was going to bring. It was going to be a new promise. He's making a new covenant, a new agreement that he's making with you. If you accept that you're a sinner and saved by grace, and that my blood was the antidote for your sin, and you accept that, here's the agreement. You will live with me eternally. You will live with me eternally. You repent. You do your best. You walk in the Spirit, you keep, because I'm going to send the Spirit. There's going to be a Spirit that will be sent. It's part of the agreement. I'm not going to ask you to do this on your own. I'm going to send a Spirit that will empower you.
Yes, thank you.
And sealed by the blood of Lamb.
Yes, Lord.
I will shed my blood today for you. And it will cover you and cleanse you and seal you.
Yes.
There is no longer any condemnation in Christ.
Yes.
Take and drink. Accept the conditions of the agreement.
Amen.
And rejoice.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And rejoice. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
When you understand what he's done, you can't help but rejoice.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord. We can understand that it's a struggle and still not feel beat up and broken down, but understand that it's already been paid for.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And that one day we will be with you
in paradise.
One day.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
One day.
Hallelujah.
You guys have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you.
Have a blessed Sunday. Walk in the Spirit.
Have a nice day, everyone.
I'll call you in an hour, so have a blessed day, everyone.
Okay.
All right.
Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you all for being on the call.
Mm-hmm. Amen.